So the sugya I'd like to start with you today is the topic of reasons for mitzvos. And I thought of doing this now because it relates to a large degree to next week's parsha, Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, as we'll see in a moment, but I think it'll take us a couple weeks to do the sugya, so relates to our parshios. And a lot of times we talk about Tamei HaMitzvos in particular, the reasons for particular mitzvos, and maybe we will have a chance to talk about looking for Tamei HaMitzvos. But at least what I want to start off with you today is a more basic question, which is, what is the purpose for mitzvos generally? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command mitzvos? What is the goal of mitzvos generally? And let's start with the first source here, which is a pasuk. The pasuk says, we read it a couple of weeks ago, actually. V'ata Yisrael ma Hashem alokecha shoel meimach kiim li ras Hashem laleches alokecha laleches b'tuchod rachav u'avo so u'avod es Hashem alokecha b'chol v'avcha u'b'chol nafshecha l'shmors mitzvos Hashem v'eschukosav Hashem alokim mitzavcha hayom l'tov lach. So if you look at the Ramban, which is below, the Ramban over here writes that the Pasuk is telling us that the purpose of mitzvos are letov lach. They are for our goodness. They're for us. Mitzvos are not kaviyachol for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they're for us. The Rambam derives this from another pasuk. The Ramban actually sees another pasukim as well. And the Ramban points out that this is, first of all, obvious misvara, because how could it be otherwise? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect, he lacks nothing, so therefore, it's inconceivable that mitzvos are for him. He doesn't need anything. He's not chaser. Must be mitzvos are for us. And he cites the pasuk in Iyov that more or less makes this point, Iyov Perek Lamed Hei, which you have here as well. Im chatasa matifal bo, v'rabu p'shayecha matase lo, im tzadakta matitin lo, umam yad chayikach. If you sinned, so have you harmed him? And if you do mitzvos, so what have you given him? So it must be that mitzvos are for us. Okay, looks like we have a fire situation here. But I think it's probably a false alarm. Are you able to hear me still? Sort of? No? Not really. Oh, okay. We have a very sensitive fire alarm, which responds to Erev Shabbos cooking frequently. Okay, so that's what the Ramban says. It seems pretty pashat. And Ramban points out that this is also implied by a medrash. So here you have the medrash Tanchuma. V'chima echpas lo laKadosh Baruch Hu bein sheshochet es habehema v'ochel o im neocher v'ochel. Does the Kadosh Baruch Hu really care if you do shechita? Nechira, shechita means from the front of the neck, nechira is from the back of the neck. Does God care how you slaughter the animal? Shechita is kosher only from the front. Klumata mo'ilo o klumata maziko? Do you help God? In other words, you help God by shechting from the front of the neck? Do you harm God by shechting from the back of the neck? Of course not. Oh, ma'echbasol bein ochel taharos lochel nevelos. Does God care if you eat kosher food or non-kosher food? Amar Shlomo m'chachamta, chachamta locha v'gomer. Halo nitna mitzvos el tzarif banes abrios. Mitzvos are rather given for letzarif abrios, to purify the creations. V'yisrael shenemar kol imras Hashem tzirufa, lama shehe magen alecha, shenemar magen hu l'chol achosim bo. The truth is, maybe we'll see this a little later, the Rambam has a different understanding of this medrash. The Rambam thinks that this medrash implies that the details of mitzvot don't have a purpose, but that's not the way the Rambam reads it. The way the Rambam reads it is that this medrash is teaching us that the purpose of mitzvot are letzarif b'henes abrios, which is for us, meaning to say what? Mitzvot purify us, they refine us. So this is the Ramban over here, you have it. The Ramban is, in his this is not, even though it's pretty long, it's only a small piece of a bigger Ramban, who is discussing the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein and what Chazal mean when they say that it's inappropriate to say Al Kansi Boyegi Rachamecha. And let's just take a look. We'll read this Ramban, and then we'll try to summarize some of the things that he's telling us, because it's many, many very important yesodos. Aval Elu HaGados Asher Niskashu Al HaRav. Previously, the Rav here is the Rambam, and previously there were certain midrashim, like the Medrash that we just read, that the Rambam found problematic, because the Rambam was arguing that mitzvahs have reasons, and the Rambam thought that that Medrash of the Chimiach Bislo LaKadosh Baruch Hum Shochet sounds like the mitzvahs don't have a reason. Like, why does God care if you shach from the front or the back? Sounds like mitzvahs don't have a reason. So he's saying those Hagados, that Medrash, that's not what they're referring to. This is what they're referring to. Shiratzu lomar, she'ena to'eles b'mitzvos l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo yisala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gains nothing from that mitzvah. Aval to'eles ba'adam atzmo. Rather, the to'eles of the mitzvah is in the person doing the mitzvah. How so? Limnoa mimenu nezek o emuna ra o mida meguna. So one aspect is that mitzvos protect a person from a certain type of harm. That's one thing mitzvos do. Or a munara, or a false belief. Or a mida meguna, bad midos. Or, alternatively, they help us remember nisim, and they bring us to yediyas Hashem. V'zeu litzarif banis abrios. That's what Chazal meant when they said to be mitzarif, to purify. Shiyu kekesef tsaruf. Ki atzarif kesef ein Ma'asehu below tam of the Hoti Meno called Sig, right? So what's the pshat? What does it mean to purify or to refine metal? So when you have metals in nature, so they have impurities in them. The process of siruf, of refining, is to get rid of those impurities. And the same thing, as it were, with mitzvos. Mitzvos get rid of the impurities within us. For example, the bad midos or the false beliefs. Skipping, hine mifurish bekan shelo bo lomar ela she'en ha-to'eles elav yis'ala she'itzarech la'ora k'machashev min ha-menora she'itzarech la'machal ha-korbanos v'riach ha-ktoros k'ner mipshutem. Very interesting. All right, saying it is true that if you read the psukim simply here doesn't mean like superficially. If you read the psukim superficially, you know, as karbani lachmi li shai, it almost sounds like the purpose of mitzvos are to feed God. And he's saying that's not the pshat. In other words, God doesn't eat our food, obviously. Vafilu, right? Rather, it's for us. Okay, and then he adds something. Vafilu azecher l'niflo sav sha'asa. Even when it comes to something like remembering the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So over there, you could say, well, you know, what do we gain out of that? Isn't that for God? So he's saying no. For example, Lasa Zechalitius Mitzrayim, Umay Sibiratius, Ena To'eles Lo, it's not for him. Rakshaneda Anachno Emes, it's for us to recognize the truth. The Nizkebo Achenia Ruyim Lios Magen Alenu. So we'd be worthy of his protection. Ki Diburenu. Right? Our talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, our talking about how wonderful he is, how great he is, right? Those, he doesn't need that. They're worthless to him, right? Does God, you know, when we're Mishabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does he get anything out of that? No, it's for us. It's in order to allow us to appreciate the truth. Lomar shekulam lanu, the lo laKadosh Baruch Hu. So it brings a raya from Shechita to show us that these are really for us, not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefi shelo yitachin lomar b'Shechita shehei ba to'eles v'kavod l'boris barach. For example, why do we give the example of Shechita? Because it's obvious by Shechita that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get anything out of that. Sorry, I didn't read it right. It's obvious that HaKadosh, if you thought the mitzvahs were about giving something to God, to give kavod to God, for example. So Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get more kavod if we shecht from the front of the neck to the back, or the back of the neck? No, it's the same amount of kavod. So it can't be that the purpose of mitzvos is to show him kavod. It's to teach us nesivos harachamim even during the time of shechita. And you see here something very interesting. He's telling you that what is the reason why we shecht from the front of the neck and not the back of the neck? The reason is because that is rachamim. Rachamim for the animal. We'll talk a little bit more about that when he gets to Shiloh HaKein, right? But the idea, presumably, is that when you shecht from the front of the neck, so it's much more painless for the animal than if you slaughter from the back of the neck. And the truth is that you could argue that all the halachos of shechita are really about minimizing the pain for the animal. And the purpose of that is l'hadrichenu b'nesivo sarachamim. V'heviu raya acheres, omaechbas lo bein ochal tahoros, uvein v'hema macholam hamutarim, lochot meos v'hemachol hasurim. Sha'amra Bahama Torah to Maim Haim Lachem Viremesu Liosenu Nikia and Afesh Khamem Maskilehames. So the point is that again, same raya from there. So what's the purpose of the laws of Kashrus? It's a remes liosenu nikie ha nefesh, so that we will be clean in our nefesh. And chachamim maskile ha'emes. And wise to be able to discern the truth. Meaning to say that by observing the laws of kashrus, by not eating a nevela, so we refine ourselves. In other words, these types of foods would presumably be metamte mesalev. They would harm us spiritually and prevent us from being maskile ha'emes, prevent us from being able to discern the truth. By being makbid, to eat only kosher foods, we might not understand how this is, but somehow or another, we are refining ourselves, being able to be people that are maskilei ha'emes. The Amram im chachamto chachamto lucha hiskiru ki amitzos ha'maasios kegon shchitas hatzavar lulamdenu amidos tovos v'amitzos hagzeros hagduros b'minin Lizakekas Navshenu Kemosha Amra Torah, Velo Tishakos Noshosechan, Behem of Oph, Chola Sher Tirmosa Adama, Sheriff Dalti Lachem, Latame, Imken Kulam Lato Alasenu. They're all for us. Bilvad. That's it. Just for us. Vize Kemosha Amra Elihu, Im Chatasa, Matifal Bov, Rabu Shacha Matasa, the Pasuk we said in Eel before, you don't give anything to God when you do mitzvos. Ba'amar, and likewise the Pasuk says, Omami Achikach, Vize Davar Muskam. That's an important line. He says, everybody agrees to this. Now, why is it such an important line? Because it means that if we see statements in Chazal, let's say, that seem to contradict this, we will know that we're misunderstanding those statements. Because the Ramban is saying, this isn't a machlokas in Chazal, but rather it's a davar muskam b'chol divrei rabbeinu. We're going to get back to that because we're going to see that there does seem to be sources that don't sound this way. So that's why it's very important to note that the Ramban thinks that it's not the pshat that there's a machlaikas about this in Chazah. V'shal u'b'yushalmi nidarim. Im poschen la'adam chavod ha'makom, v'dvam sh'beno l'vein ha'makom, v'shivu al she'ela hazos, eizehu kavod ha'makom, kigon suka, she'eni osa, lulav she'eni notel, tefillin she'eni miniach. V'hainu kvod ha'makom, mashma delanavshehu b'mahani, kehada, im tzadakta matitein lau, omam yad chayikach, nuchatasa matifal bo, rabu pshacha matasa lo. Hinei beru, shafilu alul vasukav atfilin shetziva bahen, shil os al yadcha uzekaron beninecha, ki biyad chazakos yashem b'mitzrayim, einan l'chvod Hashem yisborach, aval rachim al nafshesheim. So he brings a riot to this idea from the Yerushalmi Nedarim. The Yerushalmi Nedarim, more or less, is talking about this. There's a shaila whether you could be poseach for charata for nedarim between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu by as it were the damage done to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the question is if a person makes a neder that impacts his ability to do mitzvos, so can a Pesach for an omen, be that the person would not have made that vow had he known that it dishonors HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the Gemara Shaila. That's the Gemara Shaila over there in Yerushalmi. And the Gemara answers what damage is done to the kavod of Hashem. For example, taking a sukkah that I'm not doing, a lulav that I'm not doing, tefillin that I'm not laying. In other words, what? In other words, failure to perform these mitzvot does not really show a lack of kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the raya? So he's saying that this is a raya to the yesod that I said, which is even when it comes to mitzvot like tefillin, so it's not about showing honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even these types of mitzvot are only einan l'chvod Hashem, ela l'rachem al nafshasenu. They're for us. Viter here in the Ramban last paragraph, the Kfar Sidru lanu b'tfilas Yom Kippurim atav delta anosh meirosh v'takireinu la'amod l'fanecha kimi yomar l'cha ma ta'aseh v'im yitzdak ma yitin l'cha. So another raya from the Tefillah Yom Kippur for the Yisod that he's saying, v'im yitzdak, if a person is righteous, ma yitin l'cha, what has he given you? V'chein amar b'torah l'tov lach, the pasuk we started with, the pasuk says l'tov lach, they're all for your benefit. Kasher pirashti, as I said over there, l'chein beitzavenu Hashem la'asos es hachukim ha'ela liras Hashem lokacha l'tov lanu kol yomim. Again, the pasuk stresses the purpose of mitzvos are what? L'tov lanu. They are for us. V'akavana b'kulam. All these things. L'tov lanu v'lo lo yisbarach v'yisala. Aval kol ma'ashen etzavenu shiu briosav tzirufos umizukakos below sige machshavos raos midos megunos. So we're free from machshavos raos midos megunos and the like. Okay, ad kan the Ramban mashe nogei alanu. So let's give another mashal from last week's parsha. The Sefer Chinuch mitzvah says something very interesting. He asks, this is mitzvah samach vav. He asks, what is the reason for the mitzvah of tzedakah? Well, it's a shorish of the mitzvah. So I don't know, I would have said to help the poor people. But the Sefer Chinuch says that can't be the reason, because if the goal is to help the poor people, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take care of that. He would give the poor people money. But what does he need to tell us to do it? Rather, the pshat is that he wants us to become kind and merciful people, to become rachmanim. And a way to become a kind person is by doing an act of kindness. So by giving charity to the we are going to become kind, generous, charitable people. In other words, again, even that's an example of a mitzvah that's not where we see the purpose of mitzvos is letzayfes habrios, to improve our character. And again, so that's what the Ramban says over here. And again, what's very important is he stresses this is true for all types of mitzvot, even like zeich l'tzis mitzvot. So again, to summarize, the Ramban basically says that I think we could really categorize it as two basic goals, which are shnayim she'machas. One is perfection of the mind and the soul, right? Liosenu nekiyei hanefesh chachamim maskili ha'emes b'lo sigei machshavos raos. And examples of that include things like remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim or eating kosher food. And number two is perfection of the character, right? Limnoa midim aguna. And examples of that include Helchos Shechita and Shiluach HaKein, he's going to say later on, and the like. So ad kan the Ramban. So is this so pashut? So what I'd like to see with you now is three places where perhaps we see counter evidence to this, and we'll try to consider whether these are in fact counter evidence or not. The first point relates to the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Gimel Beis, which I referred to earlier. So the Gemara says over there, Haomer al kanti bo yigiru rachamecha m'shaskin oso, someone who says that the purpose of the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein is for to have compassion on the birds. So Meshaskino. So that's actually not what they say. They say that look, God, how merciful you are, that your mercy extends all the way to the birds. So somebody says that. He's the shliach tzibur, and he says that. So mishaskenosa, we quiet him. My time, ma. So the Gemara says, why? Plei batrei amorai b'marava. There's a machlokas. Rabbi Yosef bar Avin, Rabbi Yosef bar Zvida, chad amar b'neisha matil kina b'maisa b'reishas. You're placing kina b'maisa b'reishas by emphasizing Hashem's mercy onto one species as opposed to another. The chad amar mipneisha osim idosav shal kodesh baruch hu rachamim beinim el gzeiros. You're making Hashem's mitzvos, or it says midos, which Rashi points out says means mitzvos. You're making the mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim, the einan el gzeros, but in fact, they're not rachamim. What are they? They're gzeros. We're going to focus on that second answer in the Gemara. What does it mean? They're not rachamim, they're gzeros. So take a look at Rashi over there. Midosev, mitzvosev, ahulo l'rachim, asa elo hatil al Yisrael, chukei gzerosev. The purpose of the mitzvos aren't rachamim, but rather to place on Bnei Yisrael his gzeros. Lodia shem avadav, to show that they are his servants. Vishomim mitzvosev, the gzeros, chukosav, af bedvarim sheish lesatan la'akum hashvalayim v'lo mar matzorach b'mitzvah zu. Oh. So even when it comes to things that the satan, the umos olam, will challenge us, they'll say, what's the purpose of this mitzvah? So it seems like, from this Gemara, the way Rashi's reading it at least, is that mitzvahs aren't an expression of divine mercy. But they're edicts, divine edicts, to instill obedience and demonstrate servitude. Lodiush anu avadim. And this seems to contradict the idea that we said before from the Ramban and the Rambam and the like, that the purpose of mitzvos are for us. They are actually acts of rachamim. So let's see three approaches to how to understand this Gemara. The first approach is the Rambam, which we actually alluded to last week. It's in Moreh Nevuchim, Chela Gimel, Perek Mem Ches. He more or less agrees with Rashi's reading of the Gemara, that this Gemara is telling us that mitzvos are gzeros, and they're not for a particular reason, rather lodia she'anu avadav. And the Rambam says, but one second, we hold that mitzvos have reasons. Rambam had shown before a lot of evidence that mitzvos have reasons. So, and not only that, but they have reasons, and they're for our benefit. So the Rambam says, you know what? Actually, it's true. That is the meaning of this Gemara. But that's a das yachid, or it's a minority opinion. And the majority opinion holds that mitzvos do have reasons. Ad kan, the Rambam. Now, this is a very radical approach because, And the Rambam, I should say, points out also that the true mitzvah for Shiluach HaKein, the reason for that mitzvah, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachamim on the birds, the rachamim on the mother. So the reason, the way the Rambam puts it is that if you go ahead, even though it's not physical agony, if you take away the young from the mother, it causes very great pain for the love and tenderness of a mother for her child, is not consequent upon reason. In other words, if it was totally in reason, so then animals wouldn't have it, but it's not consequent on reason, and therefore it's something that even animals have. If the law, meaning if the Torah, provides that such grief should not be caused to cattle or birds, cattle like the din of Oso Vespinolos Ishutubi Omechad, how much more careful we have to be that we should not cause grief to other people, right? The Rambam draws a very important lesson. If you have to worry about the pain of animals, kal vachomer to people. So the Gemara is a das yachid. Now, as we pointed out last week, this is a very shocking answer because there is no machlokas. It's a stam mishnah. So the truth is, you could say that's the machlokas in the Gemara. The Gemara has two different reasons. But the Rambam thinks basically that this mishnah is not the true opinion. Now, big issue with this. So it's shver for two reasons, actually. Number one, which we talked about last week, which is how could he take a stam mishnah where there's no evidence for machlokas and say it's a machlokas? That's the taina that the Maharal has on the Rambam. And last week we talked about what his answer might be. he might have said that, yeah, it's true that there's no machlokas recorded in this particular Mishnah, but if we look at Chazal more broadly and Torah more broadly, we do have a clear consensus that there are tamim for mitzvos. The second issue is that actually the Rambam does paskin this Mishnah, Mishnah Torah. And that's l'chora because how could you not paskin the Stam Mishnah? So we'll try to get back to that question a little bit later. Is that a steer in the Rambam? The fact that Mor Nevuchim, he says, this Mishnah we don't hold of, and in Mishnah Torah, he paskins like that. But that's the approach of the Rambam. Okay. So the Ramban also addresses this, the Ramban in the same piece. And the Ramban's answer is that we're misunderstanding the Gemara. Take a look over here. Masha Amru Lefishos Midosos Shabbat Baruch Hu Rachman Enel Xeros Lomar Shaloi Chosa Kel Al Hakan Tzipor Velo Yu Rachamav Al Oso V'Esbeno She'ein Rachamav Magiyin Lebali HaNefesh HaBehemis Limnoa Osanu Milasos Bahem Tzarkenu She'em Kein Hayoser HaShchita Aval Tama Menia Lelamed Osanu Midas HaRachmanos Shalom Nisachzer. The Ramban says, no, Taka, the person who says that the purpose of Shiluch HaKein is because God's compassion on the birds is actually wrong. How do I know he's wrong? Because if that were the case, then it would be also to shech them entirely. And the fact that it's mutter to shech the animals and eat the animals clearly shows that a Kodesh Baruch Hu allows us to enjoy them, even though that might cause them pain. Rather, the pshat of the mitzvah is shalom nisachzer. So we don't become cruel people, meaning to say, if we were to do this act of, slaughtering taking the chicks from underneath the mother or the eggs from underneath the mother, so we would become cruel people. We perceive that as a very cruel act. We see at least what seems to be pain by the mother and we're doing it. That would give us midos megunos. And the Ramban said the purpose of all mitzvos is for us to give us midos tovos. So the purpose isn't for the birds, it's for us. Now, it's sort of interesting parenthetically because there's a Ramban in Sefer Bereishis where the Ramban sounds like he actually holds that the purpose of even shechita is to prevent tsar to the animals. And I don't think we have time for it today, but maybe another time we could talk about, is that a stira or not? I don't think it's a stira, but it's an interesting point. Okay, so that's shot number two in this Gemara. The Maharal rejects this opinion as well, because he says that it's a very nice shot, but it doesn't fit in with the Lashon of the Gemara, because what's the Lashon of the Gemara? The Gemara says, right? So the first part of the sentence I could understand. You're saying the reason for Kodesh Baruch Hu is compassion for the animals, that's not the pshat, it's for us. But what about the second half of the statement of she'enan el gzeros, right? Enan el gzeros doesn't sound like what the Ramban is saying, that, oh, the purpose is for us. Enan el gzeros sounds like they're decrees. Like Rashi said, like the truth is the Rambam read that Gemara. They're decrees from Hashem that we have to do. So therefore, the Maharal rejects the Rambam because he made up a machlokas where there is no machlokas, and he rejects the Ramban's reading because he doesn't think it explains the lashon of the Gemara. He also points out that the Ramban's explanation doesn't address really the details of the mitzvah, which is an important point that we're going to get back to a little bit later. But for example, he says, it doesn't explain why the Torah is only concerned in particular places, such as sending away the mother bird or Oso Vespino, but it's not troubled in other contexts. For example, you can't shecht a mother cow and or a mother sheep in the same day as their young, but you could slaughter a doe on the same day as the fawn, because it only applies to behemos, not chayos. If the reason is because Hashem didn't want us to become cruel people, so what difference would it make? Or, for example, he says you can shech the cow, right before Shkia, and several minutes later, after it's night, you could shech the kid, because halachically they're on different days. But if really the point is shalom nisachzer, that would make much sense. And then he has other kashas, like, for example, if that's true, why is it that Malika Namikdash, we are shochet minatzavar? There, taka, we do shchita from the back of the neck. What's the pshat there? What Hashem wants us to become asariyim. In other words, what the Maral is timing is that the details of the mitzvah don't correspond to Ramban's explanation of the mitzvah. Oh. So if having rejected Rambam and Ramban, what's left? How does the Maral learn? So let's take a look together. This is the Maral from Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Vav. And the Maral basically says that we should read the Gemara Kepshuto. How are we supposed to look at mitzvos? What the Gemara says, they're gzeros. Aval medivrei chachamim nira, she'en lo amar ki ha-mitzvah she'nasan Hashem yizbarach b'shvil ha-mekabel, shu adam. No, the purpose isn't for us. Rakim gzeros mitzad Hashem yizbarach, ha-gozer al amo gzeros, kimo melech ha-gozer gzeros al amo. It's similar to a melech that's gozer gzeros. Av ki ha-emes yimashich mizeh mitzad shehu mekayim ha-gzera she'gazer alav ha-tov v'ha-tzlacha she'en achre ha-tzlacha v'adim. The fact that we observe the mitzvahs of Hashem, we will get goodness and hatzlacha, that there's nothing greater than that. Of course, we are going to benefit from doing the mitzvahs. Mikol makom, en haschalas ha-gzeira shenitna letov ela mekabel. The ultimate purpose of the gzeira is not letov ela mekabel. It's not, like Ramban said, letov lach. The pasuk said letov lach. We'll have to see how does Maral address that pasuk. Now, at first glance, when you read this Maral, even though it does really correspond to the straightforward reading of the Gemara, I think it's shocking. It's like making HaKadosh Baruch Hu into a dictator whose laws are not to benefit his people, though the people in the end do benefit, but that's not the goal. I mean, you know, why would he do this? What happened to the Pasuk in Iyov, in Tzadakta Matitinlo? How do you explain? You know, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get out of our mitzvos? What would be the motivation for his commanding them? So perhaps what the Maral is saying is, yes, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and of course we love him. But obedience is also a central part of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and doing mitzvos is about obedience. Hashem commanded these mitzvos so that we will be obedient, that he's our melech and we are his people, and we have to treat him as a melech. And that's also a part of our relationship. When doing mitzvos, there's a form of bittul, of negation. I'm going to do it because Hashem said. I'm not going to do it because of what I get out of it. I'm going to do it because Hashem said. We have to acknowledge that we are not capable of understanding everything. Like he says, "Ein lecha rishus lahara achareihem." So we shouldn't try to think about what we get out of the mitzvos. Rather, our approach to mitzvos, should that be that? How should we look at mitzvos? We should look at mitzvos as though these are chukim of a gzeira, of a melech. And we do them because he's the melech. And later on in the Maral, he sort of clarifies this point. He says, it may be that, in fact, mitzvahs are for our benefit, but we can't relate to them as such. From our perspective, and even the perspective of halacha, we have to treat them as, you know, why do we do them? Because he said so. Azay. What do I mean by the perspective of halacha? So he says, that's a pshat. The fact that we paskin mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu, right? In other words, even though we can't look at mitzvos as things that benefit us, they're lav lehenos nitnu. Why do we do them? Azay. I remember there was a lot of chutzpah that I did this, but sometimes my grandmother, when I was younger, would tell me to do something, and I would say, why? You know, it didn't make sense. And she would say, azay. That's the way it is. She wouldn't tell me, she wouldn't start explaining to me why, you know, it makes sense for you to do this. No, why should you do this? Because I told you. And that's the attitude we have to have when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're not saying, the Maharal isn't saying that these are arbitrary dictates. And they certainly might be a reason. But our attitude towards mitzvos has to be that these are a yoke. Something I have to do whether I want to or not, whether they're for my benefit or not. Yes, in reality, they are for my benefit. But when we accept upon ourselves all Malchus Shemayim, we are declaring we are unconditionally bound to observe Hashem's laws, whether I like it or not. It's reminiscent, I think, of another Maharal. The Maharal very famously asks, why do we need to have Kaf Alein Har Kegigis if Klal Yisrael already said Nasa V'Nishma? And the Maharal answers that because if we would have just voluntarily accepted the Torah, if all there was Nasa V'Nishma, so then our attitude to the Torah would have been one that is rooted in voluntariness, such that we could actually decline at a later date. If I'm doing something because I agreed, so then to some degree, I could stop agreeing. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu puts a gun to our head and he reminds us that we are duty bound to follow what he says, to follow the Torah, whether we like it or not. In other words, Torah is not some self-help book. It is God's charge before whom we must submit. Our will is meaningless in face of his. So, yes, does the Maharal agree to Ramban and the Rambam that mitzvos are for our benefit? Yeah, I think he might. But that can't define the nature of our observance. Again, maybe knowing it, and maybe that's what the pasuk means when it says L'tov Lach. It is helpful to know that mitzvos are for our benefit. So the Torah says, yeah, L'tov Lach. And the pasuk in Iyov is true. And Tzadakta Ma Titein Lo, you're not giving him anything. But that's not the way we should look at mitzvos. We can't look at mitzvos as some like self-help book. I'll just read you, I think, a quote from Rav Lichtenstein, which I think he very powerfully expressed this idea. The Jew profoundly believes that God's laws were given for man's good, and he acts and is bound to act upon that belief. But he does not flinch, even when it induces pain. Obedience would mean little if it were purely selective. Yet obedience is the least which the Jew, both as a created spiritual being and as the recipient of the divine Torah, owes and prefers to God. His assessment of what he is ready to give is made in light of the ultimate knowledge that even the whole world, as Yerushalmi would have it, does not equal in value one item of the Torah. So again, I think to summarize, the Maharal and the Ramban disagree about how to learn the Gemara and Brachos, but they may agree about two very fundamental points. Number one is that mitzvos are indeed for our benefit. And number two, the Ramban might agree that our attitude towards mitzvos cannot be that I observe mitzvos because they benefit me, but rather I do them because Hashem said, and that's it. I think this is an important thing to stress, because a lot of times people, when sort of presenting Torah, presenting mitzvos, especially if they're trying to sell Torah, so they emphasize how great mitzvos are for whatever, follow Torah. It's good for shalom bayis. It's good for digestion. It's good. I don't know, whatever it is. And again, while we certainly agree that mitzvos are for our benefit, it's dangerous to start looking at mitzvos as this thing that we do. It's some sort of self-help curriculum that banishes loneliness or yields happiness or blissful matrimony or the like. The Torah demands that we sacrifice. And the truth of the matter is that even though mitzvos are ultimately for our benefit, it doesn't always feel that way. There are times where observance of mitzvos is very hard and it demands sacrifice. The Rav puts this very powerfully he's describing the Akedas Yitzchak. You have it over here. I'm going to read it in English, but you have it here in Hebrew and English. And he's describing what it must have been like for Avram Avinu to participate in the Akedah. I recoil from all the talk that goes round and round a single topic, that the observance of mitzvos is beneficial for digestion, for sound sleep, for family harmony, for social position. The religious act is fundamentally an experience of suffering. When man meets God, God demands self-sacrifice, which expresses itself in struggle with his primitive passions, in breaking his will, in accepting a transcendental burden, in giving up an exaggerated carnal desire, an occasional withdrawal from the sweetened pleasure, in dedicated to the strangely bitter, in a clash with secular rule, and in his yearning for a paradoxical world that is incomprehensible to others. Offer your sacrifice. This is the fundamental command given to the man of religion, the chosen of the nation, from the moment that they revealed God, occupied themselves with a continual act of sacrifice. God says to Avram, take your son, your only one, whom you love, Yitzchak. I'll get to your question in a moment. Let me just finish. That is to say, I demand of you the greatest sacrifice. I want your son, who is your only son, the one who you love. Do not fool yourself to think that after you obey me and bring your son up for a burnt offering, I will give you another son in place of Yitzchak. When Yitzchak will be slaughtered on the altar, you will remain alone and childless. You will not have another child. You will live yourself in incomparable solitude. I want your only son who is irreplaceable. Neither should you think that you will succeed to forget Yitzchak and remove him from your mind. All your life, you will think about him. I'm interested in your son whom you love and who you will love forever. You will spend your nights awake, picking at your emotional wounds. Out of your sleep, you will call for Yitzchak, and when you wake up, you will find your tent desolate and forsaken. Your life will turn into a long chain of emotional suffering, and nevertheless, I demand sacrifice. Clearly, the experience, which was rooted in dread and suffering, ended in ceaseless joy. When Avram removed his son from the altar at the angel's command, his suffering turned into everlasting gladness, his dread into perpetual happiness. The religious act brings with the sacrifice of oneself and begins with the sacrifice of oneself and ends with finding of that self. But man cannot find himself without sacrificing himself prior to the finding. The Rav here is not whitewashing the struggle facing the observant Jew. It's true, he doesn't deny the ultimate redemption, but there's still a struggle. It's not easy at times. And that's why it's so important to have this attitude and to be ready to sacrifice. Yes, in the end, it's going to be amazing. There will be redemption at the end, but it doesn't mean that it's always going to be a pleasant ride. Okay. So Sruli, you had a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask for the source. I didn't see it on the Makoros.
That wasn't on the Makoros. It says Divrei Hashkafa, page 254 to 255.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
254 to 255.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to go back to Ramban because there's actually seems to be a steer in Ramban because elsewhere the Ramban says we do give something to mitzvos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First, I want to address the steer in the Rambam. Okay, well, let me take Jonathan, your question.
Yeah, so I'm still a little confused about what Rebbe was saying regarding Akedas Yitzchak, that why would there have been everlasting joy afterwards? Would it not have been considered almost scarring for Avraham and Yitzchak?
No, but there was everlasting joy because in the end he said, don't sacrifice. But the point is that Avraham Avinu was showing his readiness to sacrifice Yitzchak, even though that would have led to, like you're correctly saying, scarring. In other words, when Avraham Avinu showed his willingness to do it, he was reflecting this unconditional obedience to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm willing to do what you say, no matter how horrible it's going to make me feel. In the end, there was everlasting joy, because in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them not to do it. So there was this everlasting joy. And in the end, there will be redemption. In other words, there always will work out wonderfully. But when the end is, we don't know. In the case of Avram Avinu, the end was when he said, you know, take him down from the Mizbeach. But, and ultimately, the end will always be good. But, you know, that ultimately might be a long time. And therefore, our attitude towards mitzvot has to be one in which we're willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. That is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded of Avram Avinu.
Could I ask another question?
Sure.
Rabbi? So what Rebbe's saying makes a lot of sense, but Rachmana Litzlan, as an analogy, if someone Chas v'Shalom gets into a car crash, and you know the airbags go off, and you know everything like that, but you know Baruch Hashem, they don't they come out with no broken bones, they still came out alive, and it was just the car that was totaled. And yeah, there will be the redemption that, yeah, you can get a new car, the insurance will cover it, it wasn't your fault, whatever. But that doesn't mean that it still couldn't have been traumatizing for Avraham Avinu.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, whether Akedah Yitzchak was or wasn't, I don't know. I didn't, Torah doesn't tell us, I think. But I think part of the idea is in terms of the big picture. In other words, it doesn't mean that there won't be pain. And there was pain. But it does end in redemption. But I think you're right in noting that when that redemption, the process to redemption is long. At times, that's true for national redemption, and that's true for individual redemption. And that's why the Torah demands of us that willingness to be to sacrifice, because if we have an expectation for immediate redemption, then yes, indeed, we'll be disappointed.
So it's really just it's an extreme case of that, more or less.
Yeah, I think so. Mati, Cohen,
get your hand. Shalom, Rav. Thank you. Sure. I was actually just wondering, in terms of the, are there any makoros that discuss why it was Dafka Amalach that stopped
there
it?
There are lots of makoros. Yes, and you know, if we're learning Akedas Yitzchak now, we that would be something to consider. And I should point out that there are other approaches to Akedas Yitzchak. If you look, for example, at Rav Cook's presentation of this story, he depicts it in very, very different terms. But right now, this is, again, we're not learning Akedas Yitzchak, but really our attitude towards mitzvos, and this is what I want to take from there. So there's one last point that I want to at least briefly discuss today, and then next time we're going to try to get deeper into this idea. We referred to the Rambam's approach that we refer to the Rambam's approach on mitzvos, on Shiluach HaKein, that the Mishnah is going like a Das Yachid, it's going like the opinion that mitzvos don't have reasons. He said, yeah, Taka, there's a machlokas in Chazal. One view is that mitzvos have no reasons, but the correct view is mitzvos have reasons. And we pointed out that this is very shver, because the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, Paskins this Mishnah, if we look at Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Tes, Halacha Zayin, Mi Sha'amar B'tachanunim, Mi Sharichim Al-Kan Tzipor, Shalolikach Ha'em Al-Habanim, O Shalolishchad Oso V'Espino, B'yom Echad Yirachem Aleinu, U'kiyotzi B'inyan Zeh, Mishaskin Oso, Mipnei Shemitzos Eilu Gzeiras HaKasav Hein, V'einan Rachamin, She'ilu Hayu Mipnei Rachamim, So it's very fascinating. Not only does Ram Paskin the Mishnah, but even Paskin's the opinion that says the reason for the Mishnah is because They're gzeros. They're not rachamim, right? The second answer in the Gemara. So how should we view this? Is this a stira between Mishnah, Torah, and Mor Nevuchim? So it might be. The Rambam himself writes in his Akdamah to Mor Nevuchim, maybe we'll look at this more carefully another time, that sometimes you'll see contradictions in my writings, and these contradictions are intentional, and the reason for them, he gives two reasons for them, but one of the reasons for them is to confuse people that aren't really worthy of studying this work, meaning to say that Mor Nevuchim teaches esoteric understanding of Torah, and that type of esoteric wisdom is not, should not be taught to everybody. You have to be ra'ui lekach, as the Rambam, as the Mishnah Chagiga tells us, with respect to Maaseh Bereishis and Maaseh Merkava. And therefore, how is it that I'm able to write this sefer that's open and accessible to everyone? So he addresses that question and gives several answers. But one of the things he says is, you know, that's one of the reasons why I've put some contradictions in here. So maybe that's the answer, but we still need to answer the question. Which one is it? So how do we explain that? So one possible answer to this question is that it's proposed by the Tiferes Yisrael, the Tosfos Yontif, I mean. The Tosfos Yontif says, you know what the pshat is? That actually there's no stira, because the Mishnah is telling us that it's not telling us the reason for the mitzvah. Maybe the reason for the mitzvah Shiloh HaKein is to show compassion on the animals. But rather, the Mishnah is telling us that this is inappropriate to say during tefillah, right? What does the Mishnah say? What does the Rambam say? Misha amar betachanunim, misha richem al kan tzibor, shalolikach, etc., etc. It's wrong for a shaliach tzibor to get up. And we're talking about a chazan, that's why, you know, Mishaskano, so they could hear him, to get up and start adding to the Shemona Esrei, adding Shabbat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemona Esrei. Oh, you know how, you know, Akel, Agadol, you have an Ayre, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great. He's so merciful that his mercies extend to the birds. That's wrong. It's wrong to say during Shemona Esrei for a number of reasons. One of them is that even though the Rambam writes that it's a good idea to try to figure out the Tamei HaMitzvos, they're speculative. They don't belong in tefillah. We're not certain. So that's wrong. It's wrong to get up and say them in tefillah. So now it's okay. Now there's no stira between what he writes in Mor Nevuchim and Mishnah Torah, because on the one hand, it's true that he writes in Mor Nevuchim, the reason for this mitzvah is compassion on the animals, but that's from the perspective of Tamei Mitzvos, which are speculative. And it's not right to give that type of explanation and add it into your Shmona Esrei. Now, this answer is a good answer on the one hand. In other words, it does tell you how the perspective that the Tam HaMitzvah of Shiloh HaKein is for the mercy on the animals is compatible with the Gemara and the Mishnah in Brachos. But there's still a stira in the Rambam, because the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim said that we don't hold of this Mishnah. And the Rambam in Mishnah Torah is saying we do hold of this Mishnah. So it's still a stira. Moreover, the Rambam over here tells us the reason why these are gzeros, right? He writes, "Mipnei mitzvos elu gzeras hakasav hein veinan rachamim shilu hayam mipnei rachamim lo hayamatir lano shchita koliker." These mitzvos can't be because of rachamim, because if they were, so then there's a pircha, there's a kasha. Then why shechita mutter? Because Baruch Hu had so much rachamim on the birds, so then why is he also matir shechita? How could that be? And in fact, we saw the Ramban made the same point. He's probably quoting the Ramban. So we have to go back and try to understand this stira. Fortunately, we only have 4 minutes left. So I think I'm going to say something now, Bekitzer, and I guess we'll hopefully in the coming weeks explain this a little more. I think the answer is that these two perspectives reflect two different attitudes towards Tamei HaMitzvos in Mishneh Torah and Rosh Nevuchim. And you see this in many places. I'll just give another example. In Rosh Nevuchim, he talks about the reasons for Karbanos. And he says that the reasons for Karbanos are because the Jewish people, having left Egypt, were attached to idolatry, and to tell them very immediately, you know, you can't do Karbanos anymore, would have been something that was too big of a shift too quickly. And so he went ahead and he said, yeah, don't bring Karbanos to Avodah Zarah, but you can bring Karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sort of a concession to the idolatrous inclinations of the Jewish people at that time. That's what he says in Mar Nevuchim. In Mishneh Torah, he tells us that, this is in Hilchos Me'ilah, Perek Ches, Halacha Ches, that Karbanos are a chok. Now, is that a stira? So, no, it's not a stira. For one thing, because something could be a chok and you could still give an explanation for it. But more fundamentally, because what's appropriate in Mishneh Torah is very different than what's appropriate in Mar Nevuchim. There are two very different agendas in these two works. Mishneh Torah is a halachic work. Halachic work has to be source-driven. It has to be definitive. There can't be counterexamples. While a philosophical work can be more speculative. So when he's addressing that sugya in Brachos, in Mishneh Torah, he addresses it one way. You can't, from when you're learning halacha, you can't just say a stam mishnah is lo aliba d'hilchosa, they're kolim. So he paskins like the mishnah. Likewise, the reason that he gives over there, to say that the reason for shiluach hakein is because Hashem has mercy on the animals, that is not a good explanation in the halachic context. Why? Because there's a counterexample. How do you explain why there's matir shechita? It's just like by Karbanos. In Mor Nevuchim, a reason like the connection to Avodah Zarah is a fine reason. But it's not appropriate for halachic work. Halachic work, everything has to be meduyak. It has to be precise. It can't be fluffy. There can't be counterexamples. So, you know, there's a weakness in the reason that he gives in Mar Nevuchim, right? How do we explain, for example, if the whole reason was because of the connection to Avodah Zarah? So why are there so many details in Dine Korbanos? Why is it that a Korban Ola is Shnaim Shem Arba and a Korban Chatas is Arba Matanos Be'etzpa? And there's one is Lamala and one is Lamata. One is Bezriga, one is... It's from a halachic perspective, that work, that answer is not a good answer. But does that mean it's of no value? No. From a halachic perspective, our attitude towards shiluach hakein, towards karbanos, is these are chukim shechachak lilucha. I can't give an explanation. But there's still a value to speculating and coming up with some type of understanding, the Rambam at least felt, even if it doesn't account for the details. The agenda of those two works demands two different approaches to Tamei HaMitzvos. Now you'll tell me, but the Mishnah still means one thing. Either the Mishnah means what he says in Mor Nevuchim, or the Mishnah means what it says in Mishneh Torah, and there's a stira. Perhaps that's not true. Perhaps you could explain the Mishnah in many ways. Just like we explain psukim al pipshat and al pidrash, and we don't feel a need to reconcile those two explanations. So maybe the same thing for Mishnah. We could look at things from more than one perspective. I'll close with just an anecdote that perhaps is helpful in looking at this. I recently saw an article. It was in the Chakira Journal from last summer. And it's written by someone writes about, he was in the Rav Shir, both in Revel, where he studied Mor Nevuchim, and in the Rav Shir, his regular Gemara Shir. And he writes you know, is there a difference between the Rav in Revel and the Rav in Ritz? That was the question he answers. This is, if you want to look it up, it's in volume 30. And the title of the article is The Rav at Revel, The Rav at Ritz by Robert Blau. And he writes, was there a difference between Rav at Revel and the Rav at Ritz? The answer is yes. At Revel, the Rav would welcome any remark or question related to the lecture. In fact, he seemed to invite these interruptions as an opportunity for further clarification. His manner at these lectures was always cordial and pleasant. By contrast, across the street at Ritz, a very different mood prevailed. There, the Rav was strict and demanding. Clarity and credibility were the order of the day. Mediocrity and shallowness were inaccessible. Slothful thinking, deplorable. The Rav would not abide impromptu guesswork. The student had to know clearly what he was trying to say. And a little later, the study of halacha is a science and has its own methodology, and one must be trained mentally and intellectually to understand it. Meaning to say, I think, that it's not the pshat when the Rav was very demanding of his students and sometimes sharp, that he was like a mean or belligerent guy. You know, he wasn't. And the way he behaved in a different setting demonstrated that, even if it's with the same student. The pshat is that when you're learning Gemara and when you're learning halacha, that requires a certain type of disciplined way of thinking, a precise way of thinking, and fluff just is wrong. It's false. If it doesn't explain all the details, then it doesn't work. When it comes to Tamei HaMitzvos, the Rambam felt that a different approach was called for. The Rambam writes that Tamei HaMitzvos don't have to account for all the details. And that's okay. That's okay. It's still valuable. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about in the coming shiurs why it's valuable. It's an interesting question. I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. What was the Rambam trying to do to accomplish when he gave Tamei HaMitzvos? So we'll get back to that, Bezras Hashem. But the point that I'm trying to bring out is that, yeah, in a certain sense, you know, just like the Rav taught Maariv Nevuchim differently than he taught Maseches Gittin, so too the Rambam learned the Mishnah in one way when he was writing Mishnah Torah and a different way when he was writing Maariv Nevuchim. And they had different goals, different agendas, and therefore they call for a different type of reading. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Be'ezras Hashem, we'll pick up next week with this question of Tamei HaMitzvos, and I'm going to ask another big kasha on the Ramban. Have a good Shabbos, everyone, and if you have any further questions, please feel free to ask.
Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yes.
Doesn't the Rav discuss this at the end of the Halachic Mind?
Yes. Yeah. So like there, he's now, what's like, interesting about what he says in Halachic Mind is he takes sort of a different approach. There he basically says that the Rambam failed in this respect, right? Meaning to say that, in Halachic Mind, he said that the way to build a proper Torah philosophy is from the sources of the halacha. And he says something quite remarkable over there. He says the Rambam's approach to offer Tamei HaMitzvos in Maariv Nevuchim didn't succeed. The Rambam there didn't, the way he puts it is, he didn't construct, he reconstructed. I'm sorry, he didn't reconstruct, he constructed. The proper way to build a Torah philosophy for mitzvos is to reconstruct, meaning to say, to take the details of the halacha and from there construct the tam. Whereas in Tamei HaMitzvos, he was, in Maariv Nevuchim, he was looking at the mitzvos from an outside perspective. And he says that he failed. The Rav writes, I just pulled it up, it is worthy of note that Maimonides, the halachic scholar, came nearer to the core of philosophical truth than Maimonides, the speculative philosopher. The code does not pursue objective causation of the commandment, but attempts to reconstruct its subjective correlative. In other words, it's reconstruction. That's what it does in the Mishneh Torah. So it's true. The Rambam, the Rav, does really say that that, you know, it's like shocking that he said this, but he said this, that the Rambam came much closer to the correct perspective, the MS in the Mishneh Torah, than the Maran Vuchim. So that's true also. I don't think it's a seer to what we're saying. You know, and he obviously did feel that there was value in studying Maran Vuchim, and that's why he gave that course. But that, I think, is the point, that, you know, when you're learning Maran Vuchim, a certain type of attitude, you know, the attitude that the Rav had, what I'm trying to suggest, I don't know if it's true, but what I'm suggesting is that the attitude that he had in the classroom setting was a reflection of the approach of the books and what was appropriate for these books.
And I wonder whether he was really a fan of the, meaning maybe that was more just general machshava, but not specifically Tame Mitzvahs. Like,
I think you're right. I mean, I think the Rav was particularly said that about Tamei HaMitzvos, and you're right. But again, I still think that Tamei HaMitzvos are still part of that book and that attitude. But anyway, even if either way, however you say it, that I think that would explain the stira and the Rambams. In other words, just like I'm really sort of taking that idea of the Rav and applying it in a different setting. Just like the Rav said, there was Rambam's approach to Tamei HaMitzvos and Mishneh Torah versus Maran Vuchim. So I'm saying that you see that in the way he interprets the Mishneh and Brachos in Maran Vuchim and Mishneh Torah.
Right, because I mean, the Rav pointed out a similar thing by Shofar, that the Rambam gives the whole reason. And then
so Shofar is very different. Shofar, what he's doing in Mishneh Torah over there is he says there's a remez. In other words, remez is different than Tamei HaMitzvos. And there's a place for a remez in Mishneh Torah as well. Occasionally he does it. He does that by Mikvos also. In other words, there's, even though Mishneh Torah, from the, as it were, the Mishneh Torah perspective, there's no place for these types of speculative Tamei HaMitzvos that are presented in Mishneh Torah. And that's why he writes about Korbanos or Shiluach HaKein that they're a chalik. But at the same time, he also, there is still a place for this type of, I would say, homiletical understanding of the mitzvah, like the remez, which he gives for shofar. And it's very meduk. That's why he says, even though we don't know the reasons for mitzvos, but remez yesh bedavar.
I mean, he calls it exeris, the custom.
Right, that's the point. In other words, it's exactly, it's 100% l'shitaso. It's exeris hakasav, but remez l'davar. In other words, there's a place for remez, even though our attitude is that of exeris hakasav, as opposed to Mishneh, the Maran Vuchim perspective, which is we're going to give the tam of the mitzvah. Okay, shkayach.